The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a reoccurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School, from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I am Mr. Chiquette, and I am here with Mr. Moon, who is one of the teachers at the Taconic Culinary CTE program, and George and Callie, who are both in the program. Thank you so much for joining us. I am a huge fan of food and cooking in general, but specifically a fan of the Epicurean Room and the wonderful work that the instructors and students do to serve amazing meals each day to the staff, as well as catering different school events and doing special lunches for meetings and guests of the school. So I'm going to fanboy it a little bit today because, again, I go down to the Epicurean Room, you know, as much as my wife will let me afford to do it. And I can't tell you how much I love the food there and how, as a sort of a home cook, how well you all do with it and how professional it is and how amazingly cooked the food is. So I'm really excited to talk to all of you. So let's get started. Let's start with Mr. Moon. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to join the faculty in the culinary program?
Sure. First of all, thank you very much for your nice words. Very kind.
Absolutely.
I was at the time before I came here, I was at a restaurant called the Dakota Restaurant, mm-hmm. and I had been there for 10 years. I was a restaurant manager, and there was a woman that I worked with that was a teacher here at Taconic or in the old building. Her name was Maureen Corcoran, mm-hmm. and she was a server for me at night part-time, and they also had a business called Dr. Leahy's. And since their business was starting to grow and expand, she was leaving the job here at Taconic, and she told me about it. And, you know, I asked her some questions, and I was very curious about it, and I decided to apply.
That's great. I was a huge fan of the Dakota.
Thank you.
And I was very sorry when it closed, because we don't really have a great steakhouse.
I really miss it. I miss going back in the summers. I miss the people. Yeah. It was a great place to be.
Absolutely. So let's go over to George. George, tell us a little bit about what got you into cooking and what inspired you to join the Taconic Culinary Program.
Well, I always found cooking interesting because, you know, with the same base ingredients, you can make so many varieties of dishes and all of that. And I wasn't going to do culinary originally, but my friend Addison, he kind of talked me into it.
Okay.
And I'm glad that he did.
That's great. Yeah. And you're loving it so far?
Of course.
What year are you, by the way?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Okay. And then let's go over to Callie. What inspired you to kind of get into the program? Tell us a little about you.
Well, I originally started like cooking and baking when I was like before I could walk. Mm-hmm. And then I was like watching a bunch of food shows and stuff. So that really like inspired me wanting to cook and bake like in my future. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Pittsfield, I found out that Taconic had a culinary program and I knew that's what I wanted to do since middle school.
Yeah. What year are you?
I'm also a junior.
You're both juniors. Yeah. Okay, great. So back to Mr. Moon here for a moment. Can you kind of give us just the basic outline of the culinary program? How do you develop the curriculum for the program? What is it kind of like for a student to go through this?
The basis of most of the learning in the program comes from operating the restaurant. So every single aspect, the kids handle the money, they work the point of sale system, they manage the dining room, they wait on the guests, they work the different positions in the line, which is expanding right now. Where mm-hmm. we have had more saute positions and more stations in the kitchen. They do the prep work at the beginning of the day, mm-hmm. and they are beginning to do a lot of the planning and help with the planning. So it's really pretty impressive. So development of skills, but when you have a group of students that excels in the basic skills, it is amazing what you can start to do, and this group is very much like that.
Is it primarily the juniors and seniors that are running the restaurant, or is it everybody? Is it
all four? I would say everybody contributes. You know, the sophomore class does a lot of very wonderful work for us in the prep kitchen, A lot of it depends on when they're scheduled. Mm-hmm. Like next year, we have a new challenge where the sophomores are going to be scheduled three periods instead of two.
Right.
So we're going to have to adapt the curriculum to that. But right now with the sophomores in two periods in the morning, a lot of times they are helping us with the prep work.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's kind of all in then. That's great. Yeah. So over to George. Give me sort of an average day of what learning is like. For you, like, are you finding a ton of time to do hands-on work?
Oh yeah, all the time. We usually come in the morning, go over what we need to do, and then we start prep for lunch, and then we go to serving lunch, and then after lunch we eat or clean, which is all hands-on work.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we go to usually book work or learning how to do certain skills that we can't like practice because it's too expensive.
Yeah, like, and I would imagine like we. Here at Taconic TV, we have kind of a similar situation where we are focused on making a show, kind of like what your focus is on running a restaurant. We have a show, and a lot of times we hope that a lot of the skills are going to come through within that prep for the show and making the show, right? But also, my guess is you have to back up every now and then and say, wait, hold on, we got to do more knife skills or whatever it might be from there, right?
Well, you know what? I'll jump in a little bit there and just say we're kind of experiencing that a little bit now. And these kids are doing a wonderful job, but there's growing pains as we do some of these larger menus. And they've definitely risen to the challenge. But then there's like, okay, are we doing the right thing? Is this the right way to go about it? And like one of the challenging things now when we talk about developing a menu for like 3 days, if we're serving 3 days that week, a lot of energy is going into building those skills and developing that menu. And then we're starting again the next week with a brand new menu. It's it's unlike a regular restaurant where you're just running a continuous menu and then just doing a few specials.
It's just always changing every week. And I thought that every week when I see the email, it's so impressive that you are coming out with new things every time. And it's got to be so much planning. And we'll talk about that a little bit later just in terms of how much goes into making this all work from a planning point of view. But that was always just so impressive to me when I started working here 4 years ago, was that every week it's like you guys have like almost a whole new restaurant that you're starting, right?
Yeah. So,
now, Callie, how much when you're doing your day-to-day stuff, how much food are you making food just for practice, and then you have like a separate thing that you're cooking for the public in the restaurant, or is it all kind of one thing?
So it's really all like one thing. Our practice is to serve. So we're making like serve safe, like ready to serve stuff.
Yep.
And so almost all of the food that we do make gets served for like a party or the ep room.
Yeah. Yeah. So it must also not leave a ton of room for error, right? Because you're making food that's going out to people and you're teaching how to cook at the same time. Right. Yeah. And
It's so interesting because we have this conversation sometimes with faculty or, you know, as a chef, it's not that you don't make mistakes and some of the stuff that you serve doesn't come out great. It's just at that key moment you decide not to serve it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like – so – but you're always running that – like the intent here is that we're learning – how to prepare food in a restaurant.
Yep.
But there is, you don't want to be wasteful. It's a balance. You don't want to be wasteful with food. You want to make sure, and as long as everybody's intent is to succeed, you will be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back. And we are back at Up on Taconic, asking some questions to culinary teacher Mr. Moon and two students from the culinary program who were nice enough to join us today. So let's talk about the actual food for a bit. I'm going to ask you all sort of to kind of do a go around here with the same question, which is kind of two-part question. What is your favorite thing to cook? And then also, what is your favorite thing to eat? And maybe they're one and the same, but I thought I would separate it out if you'd like to. Let's start with George.
My favorite thing to cook is probably a pasta primavera. I love that dish.
Yeah.
I do like eating the dish, but it's not like one of my favorites. I think there's just too many good ones to pick just one. What was the other question?
So just what do you like? What's your favorite food? What do you love to eat?
I'm not sure. I like fruits. It's not much you can do with them, but I love them.
They're so great. Yeah, you're talking primavera, so a lot of vegetables, and then you like to eat a lot of fruits too.
Exactly.
That's great. Primavera is my go-to at home. We buy way too many vegetables, and then you get to like Tuesday or Wednesday, right? And then you go, what am I going to do with them? So you get some penne out and then saute them all up and put them together. So that's kind of right up my alley. That's great.
I love it.
Mr. Moon, how about you?
I think what strikes me most with food, or what makes me feel the best, is when it's well-prepared and it's served well, mm-hmm. the coupling together. So it could be a hamburger, okay, but if the roll is toasted nice, it's a fresh-made roll, mm-hmm. there's a sear on the outside of the burger, and it's served with grace, I really enjoy it.
Yeah. So does that answer both questions? Your favorite, like how the prep is, and then is the burger your favorite thing? Or?
Well, you know, it could be anything along that way.
Yeah.
When I was at the Dakota restaurant, my favorite thing to eat all the time would be a New York sirloin. Mm-hmm. I just there isn't a lot for the meat cutter to do.
Yeah.
Just it's very easy to trim, but the piece of meat is so flavorful. Like a lot of times people rave about filet mignon, and I like a filet mignon, and it's very tender, but I just think a New York sirloin has more flavor. And then when it has the right accompaniments, baked potato, nice broccoli.
I'm a ribeye guy. Do you judge me for that?
No, I like ribeye. I love the flavor. It's the, you know, that balance of the nice marbling, especially when it's a nice cut.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I don't know why. It's like my favorite day of the week is when I can get a ribeye, do like a coffee rub on it, put it on my pellet grill, you know.
That's huge too, right? When you get the seasoning right, if you have the right, you know, a little bit of, you know, especially on the outside. And that was always my favorite part of the prime rib, is when you slice it and you have that, you know, garlic and salt on the outside. Absolutely. The way that hits your palate, I love it.
I ask that at a restaurant. Yeah. When they say we have prime rib, I actually say, is it a good crust? Because if not, I'll take a nice rare center cut. But if it's a good crust, I'll take an end cut, right?
And it's the way those seasonings mix with the fat.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And the beef together. It's just everything together. It's just really amazing.
Yeah. All right, now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Kelly, how about you?
Well, my favorite thing to make is like really any dessert. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to make. And then my favorite food is beer battered cod, like fish and chips.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice. Do you find, like you were talking about desserts, when you're downstairs in the kitchens and stuff, do you try to focus on more desserts for the Epicurean room?
I do.
That's kind of your thing?
Yep.
That's great. Okay. Very cool. All right. So let me kind of just, and this, you've already kind of like lent into this a little bit with your answer and stuff, but to kind of mix it up a little bit, what is the most complicated? We'll start with you, Kelly, on this. What is the most complicated thing you think you've ever made?
That's a really good question.
And if you can think of something, tell me why it was so challenging to do.
That is a really good question. Well, really, like, anything that I haven't, like, met, like, tried, like, a bunch of times is really complicated to, like, get it to look good or mm-hmm. to, like, get it the flavors to taste good.
Yeah.
Or if I'm just trying something, like, something, like, out of the blue, then those are, like, really complicated just because you don't know how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay. George?
I don't know. I think all dishes, if you don't do them like right, they can turn out really bad or really off. But I think not me personally, because I don't typically focus in bread and dough.
Mm-hmm.
I think like bread or rolls take a lot of like skill and talent to really get right.
Yeah.
Because I feel like those are really hard to mess up or really hard
to get right. Right.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I can agree with that. How about you, Mr. Moon?
You know, I think it's more like the complexity of the events in the new building. You know, mm-hmm. since I've been here, it's not a particular dish. It's just all the details that go in if we have a catered event, you know. And one of them that kind of comes to mind is we did a Latino dinner in the fall with mm-hmm. Mr. King.
Yeah.
And so not only was you're catering and you're trying to make sure your guests feel welcome and cared for, but mm-hmm. also you're preparing dishes for people that eat these dishes all the time. And it was new food to me, so I thought that was challenging. And I went out and explained to the dining room, like when I was making pupusas, that this was a new event for me. And please give me your feedback sincerely, however you felt. And they were satisfied with it. But, you know, that's hard when you're going into an event of a food that you're not familiar with that other people are.
Yeah. Do you think that's a sign? I mean, that ability to adapt for a chef, do you think that's a really good sign of just their experience and skill?
I think it's a mindset, right? It's like one of the cool things about this group of kids, and they really have, you know, chosen to put their heart into what they do. Mm-hmm. And like an example is when they bring in their cappuccino maker and they make up, you know, they've chosen to do it on their own and put their heart into it. I think what we do is a gift of service. Yeah. And it starts with the prep work, and it ends when you put the plate in front of the guest. And to have another thing that was really difficult for me about the industry is when I was 26 years old, and I went from being a kitchen supervisor to a dining room supervisor and a dining room manager. Mm-hmm. That experience of going in front of guests and yeah. in the dining room and yeah. handle those situations when you weren't controlling what was actually happening with the plate.
Yeah, right.
That was really challenging.
The front of house yes. experience, right? Yes. Yeah, sure.
That was super challenging. And they have a lot of that experience now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always, you know, even going to certain restaurants and seeing that ability, because you have that ability to kind of shut the door as a chef, right? And then yeah. just kind of be back there and you can be concerned or not concerned. Yeah. But, you know, when you actually open up the door and come out to a table and say, what did you think? Then you have to put yourself out there yeah. as well, right? So,
and yeah. it's like there's always that challenge, like if a plate doesn't go to the guest correctly
yeah.
and you're the server trying to make sure it gets corrected
yeah.
and then they're busy with other orders and you're trying to manage and follow that dish and make sure the guest gets the satisfying end result,
yeah.
the inner turmoil that the server right. feels,
yep.
you know, the kitchen really needs to be supportive in that moment mm-hmm. because it's every, you know, one of the phrases that we used to have is if you're not helping a guest, you should be helping somebody who is.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I mean, just to think, I never, you know, you go out and you just don't think about that sort of like that protocol or that hierarchy about how it's supposed to happen. Yeah. But it's so true when you say it and then you think when you've had something yeah. go wrong, what must have to, you know, the ripple effect of going back to the kitchen and stuff and making it all right again, right?
Yeah, one of the things I think you can distinctively tell when you go out to meals with friends is people who have worked in the industry tend to have a great amount of respect
yeah.
for people in the industry. Yep. You can see it.
And I've been out with all of them. The ones yeah. that do have the respect.
Yes.
And
yes.
Definitely the ones that don't. Also, yeah. that's going to be a tough night.
Yeah. yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you for that. We will be back right after this quick break. And we are back with Mr. Moon and two great students from the Taconic CTE Culinary Program. So a couple questions for you here in terms of sort of things that I've been thinking about when I go down there, which is, Mr. Moon, when I go down, I see sometimes that I go down and get some takeout, and there might be a ton of staff waiting there, or sometimes I'm one of two or something like that. How do you plan each day on how much to prep for food, given that you're often will have no idea? I mean, you don't take reservations. You often don't do advanced orders of about how many people will actually come in to eat at the restaurant or take food back to their lunch spaces.
It, you know, it is really an interesting question. Occasionally we get it wrong and we put our heart into preparing a lot of food and very little of it sells. But nine times, and sometimes like that happened a little bit yesterday. We had a fried chicken dish and we had a lot left over. So we were able to utilize that today in the Alfredo pasta.
Oh, yeah.
And so we took it off the bone and reused it. So we're very mindful of using the ingredients the best we can. Some of it here, I will say, is generally a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obviously, if we have a catered event and we know the amount of people that's coming in on top of the regular business, we have a pretty good feel for it. In the industry, we used to use something called recaps. So once you have a year of business under your belt and you said, well, on February 28th, I did 200 dinners, and you might make a note, well, that was because, you know, this concert was playing at the Colonial.
Mm-hmm.
So you might make a note, and you can kind of use your historical reasoning to get a good idea. And I think being here for 23 years,
yeah,
you have a lot of that intuitively.
Yeah, so it's just kind of data-driven cooking, right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's it's just so amazing how deep that has to get. And, like, you have to kind of use instinct but also look back and see if you have stats to decide what your orders are going to be like each week, right?
Yeah.
So, wow. So, George, I have to also ask this question on behalf of all the people, all the students that I've bragged about the Up Room to. So many students ask me the question as to why they, the student here at Taconic, can't eat in the Up Room, the Epicurean Room. I have my suspicions as to why it would be so hard, but what is the official word as to why only staff can eat in the restaurant?
Well, I think that all the juniors could agree with me. That's saying that we would want to serve, like, maybe not all the students, but, like, seniors on them. But it's more of, like, administration saying that we can't do that.
Yeah.
Because it'll compete with cafeteria, which is what we can't do, sadly.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's got to be tough, right? Having the caf doing these now free lunches, right, where they're basing their orders on. They're same goes back to the last question, right, in some way.
We can do, like, reward meals. We used to feed students in the Epicurean Room.
Yeah.
And that was at the old school. And there was the other thing I can couple as an instructor, under the right circumstances, it can be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing, like, at one point we did it every day, and you're busy, you get so busy, you're not teaching.
Yeah.
You're not teaching culinary arts.
You're running a business.
You're running
at that point.
A restaurant. Yeah. And you're getting a lot of ketchup cups and ranch dressings for hamburgers.
Yeah.
And you know, if the student is overwhelmed in that situation, it becomes very hard to teach.
Yeah. So setting the tone there is sort of keeping the balance to make sure that the educational experience is right. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you have people. It's a service based curriculum, but at the same time, it's got to be limited based on what you think is right for them to be, you know, cooking, thinking about the service and everything else that goes with it, right?
And then you also end up with some situations where you are actually teaching the guest how to be a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So your teaching gets, like, your teaching goes beyond your students in many different ways because you are open. Like, there is a certain amount of pressure even without the students in there. If the kids are having a bad day or there's situations going on, you're still open at 10:40.
Right.
Right? So there's a certain amount of pressure with that.
Yep, that makes sense. And it's funny because when I wrote those two questions, I wasn't necessarily thinking about the connection, but there really is quite a connection between how you run that restaurant and then who you can kind of let into that restaurant, right, to make the experience balanced and right. So. Excellent. So, Kelly, lately I've seen some really creative menus coming across in the emails at the Epicurean Room. The menus often, I think lately maybe I saw an Italian one. I went down actually with a group that we had visiting for a diner themed day that you were doing some awesome things at and everything. They look so well thought out and challenging. How do you decide on these menus and what is the process to bring these menus to life to the customers?
So some of the menus, like Mr. Moon or Penna or Buckley, will, like, think of and then tell us that we're doing that, like, that Monday. And then some of them, like, for the diner week, me and my friends had kind of came up with the idea. We talked to the teachers, and they're like, this is definitely a thing that we can do. And then we got all of the stuff that we would need for that week. We planned out a menu, like, and then it just happened.
Yeah.
Can I just follow up
with her? Yeah, please.
Not only did they plan the menu, but, like, so there's, like, 18 different parts of the process. So there's, like, the rough draft of the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came to us, and we made some suggestions. And they were flexible. Lola, Kaylee, Callie, they talked about it. They met with us before this summer. They did some research. Mm-hmm. They came back, and they can take, like, some suggestions. They adapted it in there. And even the menus we've done the last couple weeks, they had a huge amount of input. So, yes, we had some ideas, like the Italian one came from a moment at the Red Rose. I went there for dinner in Springfield. It's a wonderful, wonderful restaurant. And my wife and I didn't have a reservation on a Saturday night, so we waited like 45 minutes by the host stand, and that place to me is worth it. And I got to tell you, in that moment, I never felt more at home of all that hustle and bustle by the host stand.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that they exercised overly gracious people skills, but their actual execution of all the stations was so amazing and so impressive, mm-hmm. and the food came out wonderful. But I think that was the inspiration to kind of do an expanded menu item, and also inspired by their follow through with their Diner Week menu that, like, okay, these kids really want to manage these stations. They want to do cook more stuff to order. So let's give it to them.
Yeah. 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 All right. So let me just kind of go around here. Kelly, one last question for you. So let's look ahead a little bit. Where do you see yourself in a few years? So in other words, like, what type of work would you like to be doing? Is there a certain part of the country, or do you want to stay locally when you do it? Tell us a little bit about what the future looks like.
So like right after high school, I know I want to go to a culinary school and I want to major in baking and pastry arts. And then eventually after I get my degree in that, I want to either own a bakery or a small cafe. I have no clue where I want to own it, but yeah. I just know that I want that to happen.
Yeah, but you've got a path. Yeah. That's great. Very cool. George, how about you?
I think I'm more open-minded. Well, if I wanted to go to college, I want to go to the one of my choice, of mm-hmm. course. But if I don't end up going to college and I stay in the culinary business, I hope to be higher than just like a regular cook.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it takes time to, you know, evolve into those
kind of build
positions.
Up to that. Yeah. 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 Okay. So you're kind of open right now just to see what happens,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I just, yeah.
Yeah. Little modification on that question in terms of looking at the program, Mr. Moon, where do you see the program in, say, 5 years, and changes, improvements, things like that, that you'd make either to the learning side of things or to the restaurant side of things?
Yeah. I don't know if I could take 5 years in a chunk, but I definitely could take the next year and a half. And I'm just curious, you know, if this group of kids can, you know, keep that, and there's stress too with it. You know, there's tough situations that happen in the restaurant, but I think if they can keep kind of their drive going, their openness going to succeed, I think that I have a lot of, I could see a lot of positive energy going into the program. You know, we could feed more people. We can do things in the community, which these students have also helped do things in the community. They helped prepare the Thanksgiving meal at St. Stephen's.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe in the basic philosophy that we are, you know, we're here for kids.
Yeah.
So I'd love to do things for kids in the right venue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's hopefully my hope to be here in, as the years go on, to see how you progress and what things happen down there, because you guys are all doing such a great job. And like I say, when it came time to put this podcast together, it was just one of the literally the first email outside of our little department here that I wanted to send out, because I just wanted to hear more about it. And I'm so happy that you all took the time to come up here and join us. So some really great discussion today about the culinary program at Taconic High School. I do want to thank Mr. Moon, George, and Kaylee for taking time out of their busy day to join us and to talk about the program. Thank you to our listeners for tuning into WTBR, CastBox, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions for us, feel free to email us at TaconicTV@Pittsfield.net, and we hope that we will see you next time on Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and this week featured students from the Taconic Culinary Program. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in March of 2023.